Hi, Frederik.
Hi, Hanan.
How are you today?
I'm quite well. And you?
I'm good. So today my guest is Frederik Semet. He's full professor at Centrale Lille, France. He's also deputy director of the Lille Research Center in Computer Science, Signal and Automation, known as CRISTAL, gathering about 200 professors and researchers. His main research activities are in the field of combinatorial optimization, applied to location problems, transportation network design problems, and vehicle routing problems. Frederik is and has been involved in various grant-funded and collaborative projects with transportation and logistics companies. In addition, he is a member of the steering committees of the Verilog from Euro and of the Groupe de Recherche and Recherche Opérationnelle of the CNRS. Frederik has authored or co-authored more than 75 scientific papers or book chapters. He has been an associate editor or member of the editorial board of Advances in OR, CNOR, and INFOR. Frederik received the President Medal of the British OR Society in 1999 and was awarded the first prize for scientific contribution to the Euro-RODEF 2016 challenge. Frederik, it's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much for accepting the invitation.
Thank you so much, Hanan. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. So let's start. So Frederik, you studied in Switzerland. Your wife is from Belgium. You did your postdoc in Montreal in Canada. And you live in France. From which of these French-speaking countries are you actually from?
Well, in fact, I am from France. I am from Lyon in the southeast of France.
Ah, okay.
This is my native city.
Mm-hmm. And could you tell a bit of your family background, starting with your parents?
Yes, for sure. My father was working for the CNRS in France, so for the National Center for Scientific Research. He got a PhD in chemistry, and he was an expert in what is called microanalysis and organic chemistry. My mother basically stayed at home, taking care of her children, my brother and I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I assume your dad did this PhD maybe in the 50s or... 60s and
Lately, in fact, he started as an engineer first, and then he got his PhD beginning of the 70s.
Ah, okay, because I think chemistry was quite popular at that time as a career.
Yes, in fact, by this time, when he was doing his studies, chemistry was like a computer science nowadays, especially in Lyon, because in Lyon there were many large manufacturers in chemistry. So all, let's say, bright young people wanted to go to these studies, this subject. And he was one of them, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, my dad also got a PhD in chemistry in the early 70s. And my mom also, she has a PhD, but only later she got. And tell me about your mom.
So my mom stayed at home, as I told you. She was quite interested in many things related to arts. She was not an artist, but she was interested in all kind of manual works, including drawing, and she was really fond of literature. So she spent a lot of time reading books from everywhere in the world.
So your dad was more into science and your mom was more into arts?
Exactly. My dad was in science, and my family on the side of my dad, the family was more interested in the sciences. Some of my cousins are doctors or dentists, and even my brother did his study in physics. So on the side of my dad, it was science, and on the side of my mother, it was arts. My mother was, as I told you, interested in literature a lot. My grandmother was a good pianist, an amateur one, but a good pianist. So it was a balance between art and science.
Yeah, good mix. You mentioned that your brother studied physics, and did he also become a scholar like you?
Yes. In fact, my brother is in Lyon working at the university. He got a PhD in nanotechnology, and now he is an associate professor there in Lyon.
Still
in Lyon.
Mm-hmm. So 75% of the family has a PhD degree?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you include my wife, you even increase a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean the four of you
Yeah.
Okay. So Frédéric, you were born in 1963, and how was life in Lyon? You mentioned you're from Lyon during the 60s and 70s.
Well, I can just tell you about my own experience for sure. But as a kid, it was very 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 nice. In fact, Lyon is a very nice city, very well located, close to the sea, to the Mediterranean Sea. My family on my mother's side was from Provence, so from Avignon, not very far from Avignon. So we went to Provence many times during the year. And on the other side, you have mountains. So it's very well located. You can go there for the winter. But Lyon, by itself, is a very nice city because you have two rivers in Lyon. So I have the opportunity to live close to one of them, just in front of the river, which is called the Rhône. And so it was a very nice environment, and I had a lot of friends. So I had a good time there.
Very nice. Did you have any hobbies back in the day?
Yes. In fact, I was mainly interested regarding sports. I was mainly interested in skiing. So since the mountain was not very far, we went there for the weekend or during the holidays, sometimes for all winter's holidays, so for Christmas, during the winter break, so we ski a lot. And during the summer, I was fond about sailing. So I do that with my brother, both activities with my brother. We practiced sailing in Brittany. My parents used to go almost every year in Brittany for the summer vacation. So we just practice sailing on what's called a sailing dinghy. You can see this type of boats at the Olympics. Those names are the 470 or 420, this type of boat which were I think built for the first time in the 60s. It was
So the two of you, you and your brother, clearly followed your dad's steps. But have you been somehow influenced by, let's say, the art side coming from your mother?
Yes, somehow, because as you can imagine, it was quite unclear when I was a teenager if I would like to go for science or for something like literature. At school, I was not among the top, but I was at the high school. I mean, I was among what was called by this time the good students, and I have equal opportunities in terms of selecting either sciences or literature. So I remember when I was 16, it was a big decision to take. Do I go for science or do I go for literature? And well, you know, the pressure of the father plus some interest, clearly the result was I go for sciences.
Mm-hmm. Did you have interest in literature, history, and all those things?
Yes, these are my favorite hobbies. If I still read a lot. Not as much as I can, because I have, as everyone, a limited amount of time for this, but I'm quite interested in literature and in history. And the both of the these can be mixed. I read a lot of books related to history or based on history fact.
Mm.
So but I am still interested in this subject quite a lot.
Mm-hmm. Right now. And what type of music did you like to listen in those days?
When I was 16, you know, as I told you, to understand is my mother was fond of classical music. So I think that I was, with this respect, a little bit a rebel. So on my side, I was listening hard rock groups, such as Van Halen, Scorpion, and so on. So something very different, but I think it was just for the contrast, because today I'm back to my classical music and I'm listening a lot of classical music as well, but you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what differences do you see between the French kids from your generation and those from the current generation?
Well, there are many differences. I have the feeling that, first of all, when I was a teenager in Lyon, I was really free. I go out a lot with my friend. We didn't have those social networks, and so we can call each other, but most of the time we met. So we went for the afternoon at the home of our friends, of some friends, and so we have a lot of exchange like that, so that we have a really a social life, a real one, not an artificial one, which was, I think, richer. I compare with my children right now. They have their friends, but they interact with them mainly through those social networks and not with real contacts, not so much. The other difference is, I think, main difference is we were really interested in culture. Maybe it's me, but so we went a lot to the cinema, to the theater, to the museum. So we have, a lot of time in those activities.
Mm. So let's say less distractions compared to the kids today.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy going to school? And were you a good student?
Yes. Yes, I enjoyed going to school. Yes, I was not reluctant at all. I had my friends, and I was in a good high school in Lyon. So yes, I like that a lot. I have very nice professor, I must say, very passionate professor. So it helps a lot, I think. And so yes, I liked that lot. Do I was a good student? I think I was a Yes, I was good, but not top. Maybe mainly because I was not, for the exam, I was always a little bit slow. I remember many times, the professor mentioning, "Well, what you do, Frederick, is good, but it's not enough." So by this time, it was really my main default. I was a little bit slow, and so I get good marks, but not the best ones.
And have you considered pursuing a career in chemistry like your dad?
In fact, no. My dad almost forbid us to follow a career in chemistry. One chemist in the family was enough, I think.
Okay. And did you attend a preparatory class before you joined university? That is pretty common in France, right?
Well, it depends. If you want to go to those engineering school, top engineering schools in France, yes, you have to go to preparatory classes. It takes 2 years, during which you have to work very hard, mainly math, physics, literature, and normally English. You have English courses, so it's really focused on a limited, at least at my time. Now it has changed a lot, but it was really focused on a very small number of subjects. And do you do that intensively during 2 years? What I mean by intensively is basically it's like if you enter a monastery, you do that and nothing else. You just forget about friends, cinema. Well, you can have some, but that's the
Very limited.
very limited, yes.
And why did you pick an engineering degree, and why did you go to Switzerland for that?
Well, that's basically, because my father was working by this time with a researcher in Lausanne. And after my second year at the preparatory classes, I had the choice for some engineering school, but not on subject I was really interested in. My father was working with this researcher in Lausanne in the chemistry department, and he told me, "Well, there is this school, the EPFL in Lausanne. Maybe you should consider it. If you pass the entry exam, you can choose the subject you are going to." In which you are going to have your diploma. And I was mainly interested in math. So and there is a math department at EPFL, and you can have a degree in applied math, an engineering degree in applied math. So that's why at the end I decided, okay, I'm going to EPFL, and it was a good choice.
Did you become a better student at university?
Yes, definitely, definitely. I think this is due to these preparatory classes. This really changed my mind, and how you can work, or how you must work. I became by this time among the best students in my in the math department. Yeah.
How was your introduction to OR?
Oh, that was very, very nice. This is a very good memory. It was an afternoon. It was the first course. In September, in the afternoon, in a big amphitheater, we were mixed computer science students and math students. And the first lecture was given by Dominique de Vera, and he introduced us to operation research. And basically what he gave, as far as I remember, are examples of related to linear programming. He gave us an example related to project management. One example, I think, related to some production planning. And at the end of the lecture, I said to myself, well, this is fantastic, I want to do that. This was really a revelation. Really a revelation. And when I went back to Lyon and I talked with my family and I say, okay, I have found what I want to do in life. I want to study operation research and work on in this domain, and it was done.
Yeah, that's excellent. Is it true that you used to show the R models to your grandfather?
Yeah, that's why when I go back to Lyon, my grandfather used to be a manager and manager on the technical side. So he was managing inventory for the French railway companies, and I show him I had during the lecture, and it was good in math, but not so good. And I say, okay, look at that, this is fantastic. I show him the model, and I remember some weeks later he told me, well, you know, there is something I did during my career, you know, we sort these items, these products, according to the ABC classification. And years later, I used for my degree, to get my engineering degree, I used this ABC classification.
Nice. Did you take part of any research projects before starting the PhD?
Yes. In fact, in Lausanne, it was very interesting because each semester we had a small research project to do, most of the time with a friend, and those was related to sometimes with to really practical project. The first one I did was related to a company called Metalor. And it was the idea, it was to determine their production planning. They were producing gold, metal or mean gold in French. So they were producing gold, and when you produce gold, you never have pure gold. You can mix something else within the gold, because you know you have these 99.99, but there is this small amount of something
impurity,
of purity. So they have this different type of gold with different level of purity, and they want to mix them in such a way they produce units with a given purity. This was true for gold and for silver too. So basically it was a very large linear programming model, nothing else. And it was my first project I did with one of my friends by this time. And it was the beginning, but each semester we had such a project to do. And it was very, very good for us to do those projects.
And what was your main motivation for pursuing a PhD degree?
In fact, I think I understand quite rapidly that without a PhD in operations research, it's quite difficult to find a job in operation research. So that was my main motivation. I was quickly influenced by my father, that's for sure, because in chemistry, if you don't have a PhD, you are not a chemist, basically. he told me, you know, maybe you have to go a little bit deeper on this subject to know more things. And so that's one mainly my motivation. That's what was from one side. And from the other side, which is not so so nice, I had to do my military service. And by this time, you have this possibility in France to do your military service in some foreign countries. Switzerland was clearly a foreign country with respect to France. So doing a PhD in Switzerland was a good opportunity to do first your PhD and second your military service by the same time. So that's why I did a PhD.
Who was your PhD advisor?
My PhD advisor was Dominique De Vera. Dominique is a great guy.
And what did you learn from him, and what opportunities did he open for you?
I learned a lot, even if Dominique was mainly working on graph theory, but also on scheduling. One thing he learned to me is maybe when you have a problem, you can tackle it by using different perspectives. For sure, for typically you can use linear programming, this is one possibility, or integer programming, or you can try to formulate it as a graph problem on a graph, and sometimes you are able to do it and to design efficient algorithm for that, for the, your problem. So that's I think that's what one of the things he learned to me, and it was, for him, it was really a game, you know. It was like some challenge, some little challenge. It's it, look to this problem, and at the end, on the corner of a paper, he showed us we were mini PhD students. Well, you see, you can model it like this and not like your big LP model. You can just play with graphs, and it's just a graph problem. So, yes, we did that a lot. And the other thing is Dominique had a fantastic network, many, many friends. So we had in Lausanne, and in winter schools, which were organized by him and by the other professor in operation research, Tom Liebling, we had a great, great professor. So we had the opportunity to meet many very famous people, to quote some of them. We met in graph, clearly Claude Berge, Peter Hammer, Fashek Schwatal, in integral programming, Paolo Tott, Pierre Hansen, graph and integral programming. So many, many people. Mm-hmm. And by the way, a friend of mine, Martin Labbé, who was a little bit younger by this time.
And what was your PhD research about?
My PhD research was about vehicle routing. In fact, when I was recruited by Dominique as a PhD student, In fact, the position in by this time at UPFL was assistant, was one of his assistants. He told me he had this project with a company called Coop, which was a grocery store, a chain of grocery stores. And they wanted to have some help with the design of routes for their vehicles. They had a depot in Lausanne, and they deliver all French-speaking part of Switzerland from Lausanne. So we had to design routes. So I worked on that. It was quite a challenging problem because it was a real life one. Maybe this is in my thesis I introduce what is known now as the truck and trailer routing problem, because they have truck and trailers, and basically when you go to the mountain in Switzerland, at some point you have to leave the trailer and the truck, just do the tour serving the stores in the mountain, then go back to the valley, couple the trailer and start again its route. So yeah, I introduced this problem. It was introduced in my PhD thesis.
Mm-hmm. And how did you solve the problem?
By this time in Lausanne, you had two groups. One was called Rose, and the other one was called Roseau. The Rose was the group of Dominique, Roseau was the group of Tom. And Roseau was mainly working on mathematical programming and from an heuristic point of view on simulated annealing. And in Rose, in our group with Dominique, we were working with taboo search. So the natural path was to develop some taboo search algorithm to solve this problem. In fact, it was what is called now a math heuristic, because we have some mathematical programming procedure within this taboo search.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how we solve the problem.
Mm-hmm. You know. You also worked with Eric Taillat during your PhD, correct?
Yes. In fact, the first paper I had is with Eric. Eric studied computer science in Lausanne, and he was also an assistant of Dominique.
Mm-hmm.
So we work on these subject together. And we wrote together the first paper explaining how you can solve vehicle routing with using taboo search.
And how was the experience of writing your first paper?
Frankly, it was terrible, but very nice. Terrible because our English by this time was not so good, so it takes a lot of time. But it was a nice experience because we really wrote the paper together. I mean, close to each other, around the same table, writing the introduction, blah, 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 etc. And we have some good someone who helped us a lot, because by this time Fred Glover was visiting Lausanne, so at some points he took our paper and just made a fantastic job. He corrected not the content but the English.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped us a lot to have our first paper accepted.
Nice.
In an ELSO4R.
ELSO4R, okay. And how was your first presentation in a conference?
Stressful. I think I gave my first presentation in small conferences in Switzerland and in France, but the first big one, the first conference was at Tristan, the first Tristan in 91. It was organized in Montreal and Quebec City. And I gave my first presentation in Quebec City at Chateau Frontenac, which is a very nice location. But in the room, there were many very famous professors. It was the first Tristan. All the professors of MIT, I don't remember all the names, but they were there. For sure, professor of Lausanne, of Montreal were there. So many, many famous professor, and you arrive with your taboo search. So something, which is really something new by this time, but not so popular. And you are a young PhD student, so yeah, it's stressful, and you try to give some message as much as you can, but
Mm-hmm. And many colleagues from your generation attended the Euro Summer Institute. How about you?
Yeah, in fact, it was my first experience. The first time I left Lausanne for some scientific activity, I had the opportunity to go to a summer institute devoted to decision support system, which was not really my subject, but I went there in Portugal, and I presented my work, the work I did for my engineering degree on inventory management. And it was very nice, and it was mainly the opportunity to meet many people. I'm still in relation with them. Maybe the one of the most famous one is Maria Grazia Speranza. It's Caspia. I met her during this summer institute. So it is really a very good thing. Those summer institute organized by Euro.
Yeah, Grazia is very nice. She's one of my favorite figures out there. So she's super nice. Yeah. How long did it take for you to complete your PhD?
Well, in fact, it took 5 years. As an assistant in Lausanne, you had a contract for 5 years. So I take the 5 years. I must say that, in fact, with respect, if I compare with the present time, this led us to have more maturity, in the sense that when you are doing your PhD for 5 years, after a time, you understand how you can work by yourself. So you don't need your supervisor so much. You are able to see a little bit what could be of interest, what are the research questions. And yes, so you have more maturity. So when I left Lausanne, I think in many respects, I was more mature compared with, typically with some of the PhD students we have right now. And this is not their fault. I mean, a PhD now in France is 3 years long, so after 3 years, if you include the fact that you have to write your PhD thesis, you have the maturity you can have. It's normal.
Yeah, nowadays it's more paper oriented, and maybe at that time was more about having a good background and independence to do research.
Clearly, in fact, and I think it was also the work part of the contribution of Dominique, and I must say Tom Liebling as well. They want to. We do not have really a doctoral program very focused. They try to open our mind as much as possible, and so we have, as I told you, many foreign visitors, and they taught us about subjects which are clearly in operation research, but not totally related to our PhD subjects. And yes, so it was a very good thing.
Yeah, so that helped you having a broader perspective of the
Clearly,
field. Yeah.
clearly,
And you finished your
clearly.
PhD with no paper published with your supervisor, right?
Yeah. We wrote something, but together. But it is not. It is published in an engineering journal, not in a scientific one.
Okay.
But it was quite common by this way, by this time in Lausanne. Yeah.
And what happened next?
Next, in fact, at some point, I just have some contact with Gilbert Laporte. He went to Lausanne in the beginning of the 90s, and my friend Alain Hertz was by this time for his postdoc in Montreal. And when I met Gilbert, I was quite interested in first working with him. And since Alain went to Montreal, I thought it was maybe a good possibility to go to Montreal. I went to Montreal for Tristan, so I know a little bit. I knew a little bit the city. So it was appealing, and working with Gilbert was really an opportunity. By this time, Gilbert has written already a very large number of papers, some very, very nice. He had developed many branch and cut algorithms for the classical CVRP, for the distance constraint VRP, and many other things. I got a grant from the NSERC, so from Canada, and I went to Montreal for 2 years as a postdoc.
You worked with Michel too, right? Michel Gendreau?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, when I say I did my postdoc with Gilbert, it's clear, but Michel was always around. So we worked, in fact, a lot, the three of us
And what did you
together.
learn? What did you learn from Joubert and Michel?
Well, a lot of things. First of all, when I arrived, Gilbert told me about a problem. I never heard about it. It was a covering to a problem. That's first. And he told me, okay, we are going to develop a branch and cut. Branch and bound, I knew what it is. Branch and cut, I know clearly Gomery cuts and things like that. That's what's part of my background. But I was not so familiar with polyhedral analysis and all these subjects. So I had to learn a lot about how you can prove that a constraint is a facet, is a valid inequality, is determine the dimension of a polyhedron, all these things of a polytop, all these things. So I had to learn a lot. That one was one thing. The second thing I learned was programming in C, because I had to use Cplex, and it was the first time I used Cplex. And last, with Gilbert, I learned how to write a paper in a very systematic way, and it was just a fantastic experience.
Yes, yes, I know more or less how it is. I had the chance to work with him a couple of times, so yeah, it's an interesting experience.
Yeah.
It seems that you met someone very special in Montreal, correct?
Yes, indeed. I met my wife in Montreal. Met Luce in Montreal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How was it?
I can only say it was very nice. No, it was very nice. I met her when she came for an internship with Patrice Marcotte and Gilles Savard, and she was working on very different subjects with respect to mine. She was working on traffic management by this time, and then on bi-level programming. Mm-hmm. So the subjects were different, but we found other common subject to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. Who else you met there that you became friends with?
Well, in fact, in this time, by this time in Montreal, I met Bernard Gendron. Bernard was completing his PhD when I arrived, and other people like Ismail Chamini. So we were a little group of PhD student and postdoc, not so many postdoc, but PhD students, and we had a lot of fun together.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to find a permanent position there in Montreal?
Yes, in fact, after my postdoc, I got my first position as a full-time researcher, but not in the computer science department, operational research and computer science department at the University of Montreal, but in the health administration department. So this was a very strange thing, because they had this guy who was professor of operation research in this department. He was not doing any research anymore. He got his PhD in Montreal with many people, you know, François Soumy, of this generation. But he was not doing any research anymore, and he succeeded to add a position as a full-time researcher, and I got this position.
Mm-hmm. And what type of problems you start working after joining the health administration department?
Yeah, so I have to work on subject related to health management. And I had to work, and my background is in operation research, clearly. So that's what the time we start to work on ambulance location and relocation. I worked on nurse scheduling, and I worked also on another subject, but I have no paper on that, devoted to medicine unit ranking. So you rank the different units according to their performance. There are some algorithm to do that, and you can do that. It was not very popular.
Mm-hmm.
for And yes, it was the subject I tackled. My friends Gilbert Laporte and Michel Gendreau was clearly part of the of this project. But I worked a lot also with Brigitte Jomard on nurse scheduling. It was very nice. We developed some extended formulation for the nurse scheduling problem with a PhD student called Sylvie Vauvert, and it was nice. Very nice project.
You're actually known for your work on the ambulance routing and location and things like that, right?
Yes, we worked a lot and we tried to, we did very different things based on the data and on the case of Montreal. We proposed this model, which is called the two-level model, in which you want that you answer a number of call in a portion of unlimited time. You don't have to answer all the calls, but you want answer at least a portion of the calls. That's why one thing. And we also developed, I think, something which was quite new by this time is some real fleet management algorithm using parallel computing to basically to manage the fleet in real time. So you assign a vehicle as soon as you receive the call, and the idea in this algorithm was to compute in advance all the relocating policies in such a way that when you receive the call, you assign the ambulance, and immediately you have the relocation policies between the ambulances you want to apply.
Right. So eventually you went back to France. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, at some point we had to find a position, my wife and I, and also for family reason, we decided to come back to France.
So you went to Valenciennes, right?
Yeah, we had our first positions in Valenciennes,
Yeah,
yes.
you spent an entire decade there.
Yep.
And from your CV, I can see that you worked a lot on problems related to logistics. Could you give more details about them, including also the solution approaches you developed at that time?
Yes, in the Valenciennes, I worked mainly on two or three main subjects, I will say. The first one, which is more theoretical, I collaborated with people in Lille, mainly El Ghazali Talbi, who was a guy of who is a guy of multi-objective optimization, and we worked on multi-objective vehicle routing problems, and we introduced what is called the balance vehicle routing problems, in which you have to balance the length of the routes of the different of the different vehicles. And for that, we developed mainly heuristics based on taboo search and genetic algorithms. So that was one of the subjects I dealt with. Then I started to work with Bernard Gendron by this time. Bernard visited me in the beginning of the 2000, I had a real life problem with a big company in France for delivering parcels within 24 hours, and they wanted to have what they called an adaptative system. This means that you want to change from time to time your distribution networks according to the demand. The main challenge is you have to deliver all the they had to deliver all the packages from Lille, which is it's located in the north of France, within 24 hours. So I had this problem, and Bernard visited me, and we started to think about it. We developed some method to solve this problem, and then we continue to work on this with Bernard, and we really explore many things related to the tool level and capacitated. This is a simplified version for sure. So the tool level and capacitated facility location problem. We proposed formulations, we analyzed, compare different type of formulations. We develop a VNS algorithm to solve it approximately. We develop an exact method based on Lagrangian relaxation, which was one of the favorite subject of Bernard. So yes, that was another important subject I worked on. And maybe a third one I would like to mention is we had a lot of fun with Gilbert, working with a PhD student called Eric Duchesne, working on the peripatetic traveling salesman problem, which is a nice problem in which you have to determine a number of cycles which are edge disjoint, covering pathing through all the nodes of the graph. And we develop a nice algorithm based on the branch and cut algorithm methods for this problem.
So you're really busy at that time, doing heuristics, exact algorithms for several interesting and relevant logistics problems.
Yes, in fact, I try to balance my activities between heuristic and exact methods. Mm-hmm. And by this time, it was mainly related to branch and cut algorithms.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Bernard. He passed recently. I didn't have the chance to meet him. But I mean, it seems that everyone loved him. And I suppose that you surely miss him, right?
Yeah. It's very hard because I mentioned this before. I met Bernard when I was a postdoc in Montreal, and first of all we became friends. I mean, by chance somehow we met our wives at the same time in Montreal, Luce and Wissal. They became friends, and so we are very we were good friends, and after that, mainly 7 years later, 6 or 7, we started to work together. So I had, and we had a lot of fun working together with Bernard. Mm-hmm. I think it was very nice, and Bernard was a great researcher. He had many important contributions in mathematical programming related to integral modeling, and also he was really involved in everything he did. Mm-hmm. So yes, he missed me a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You changed jobs after that 10-year period working in Valenciennes. What made you do that?
Well, in fact, I am an engineer, and I think I had the opportunity to join an engineering school in Lille, Central Lille. So I think I'd like to to go to an engineering school because, well, it's my traditional environment. And so since I had this opportunity, I decided to come back, to come in Lille. Yeah.
Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I see that you turn attention to studying integrated problems, right? When you went to Lille.
Yes, this is clearly my my subject and my interest right now. In fact, what happens is at the end of my period in Valenciennes, we had a big project related to urban logistics. And as soon as you consider city logistics or urban logistics, you have different type of decision to take simultaneously. The most classical ones are location decisions and routing decisions. You start to have multi-level transportation systems. So naturally you have those integrated problems in which you take simultaneously different types of decisions. We all know that if you solve this problem independently, you are going to have a solution which are average, let's say. So you have to tackle them jointly, and this is the reason why I started to work on this subject. I am still working a lot on this subject right now.
I see that you worked a lot on Bender's decomposition approaches, and also trying to mix operational decisions with tactical decisions. Also, you know, math heuristics. So I see that you kind of became maybe more interested in doing exact stuff in this last years. Is that true?
Yeah, in fact, I think I had this these always in me, in the sense that you know, I come from mathematics. I'm not a computer scientist, and I think that somehow if I can plug a little mathematical think in my algorithm, I'm quite happy with that. So what I mean is, at some point, as I told you, even at the beginning, when we developed this taboo search, we had to solve some assignment problem, and we develop we just use a classical assignment algorithm to solve this problem optimally and not heuristically, which is standard. With the time, keep the same trend, but I just enlarge the part of my interest in the fact that I like a lot to develop exact methods. But when the problem become too large, or for other reason, I turn my exact algorithm into heuristic, into math heuristics. And I like that a lot. We developed recently some good math heuristic for some vehicle routing problem. Mixing heuristic approximation of the dual value and column generation. Generation of columns based on approximation of the duals. So yeah, it's that the subject I'm interested in right now. I'm still interested in branch and cut, but I'm more interested now in decomposition methods. Even if I, as soon as I can add cuts in my frameworks, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, it seems very interesting, and it's also fascinating. I also enjoy doing similar things that you mentioned. So yeah, Frederic, you have been very productive throughout your entire career, working on many problems and proposing a number of models and algorithms. What are you not interested in doing anymore?
Okay, I think I'm not interested anymore in doing vehicle routing. And I must explain why. I think that in vehicle routing, our community has reached a point that that doing significant contribution becomes harder and harder. And clearly, I'm not interested in solving the new version of the VRP with time window with some additional spatial constraints. Either I have invented or I saw on a real life problem. And this, you can just look to those informed survey on vehicle routing, look to the software you have in the industry. They are more and more powerful. I think our community contributes a lot. We proposed many things in the past, but now I think it's time to consider other problems. There are still some variant of the VRP which are of interest, I must confess, and I'm still working on these right now, so I should moderate a little bit myself. For example, I have worked with my colleague Diego Cataruzza, Maximo G, and Claudia Archetti, and a very nice, very good PhD students, Matteo, Patrice. We have worked on the multi-commodity VRP. So this brings something quite new, because you don't have a single product, but you have several products. You can deliver several times a customer delivering a subset of products to or commodity to a specific customer. So this something somehow is new, but adding a new constraint on the standard VRP, well, we know, I can see many papers like that. I'm not interested in this paper anymore. And even more, I'm not interested in reviewing these papers. I think we had quite recently very strong contribution. I would like to quote two of them. One is by Thibaut Vidal and all the researchers around him, Michel Gendreau, Christian Prince, Theodore Krenig. They have developed a very efficient heuristics which is able to solve many variants of the VRP. That's a very nice work. And this type of contribution is really valuable. And we had by your group in Brazil and some people in Bordeaux, including Ruslan Sadikov and François van der Beek, they have developed almost the same thing for exact, regarding exact algorithm. So that this is nice. I mean, you develop an algorithm which is, you just change two small things and you can solve another variant. This is a really of interest.
Yeah.
Developing the new B algorithm or genetic algorithm or whatever you want to solve the VRP with time window plus some specific constraints, for me it's of no interest.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's my opinion, you know.
Sure, I agree with you. Yeah.
But I think I can have an opinion right now. I'm sufficiently old to have an opinion on what is valuable or not.
Yeah, I understand totally. Like when you mentioned the multi-commodity VRP, it adds an important challenge, and it becomes scientific relevant as well, because it's not just adapting or tuning one existing method. You have to come up with new ideas to efficiently solve that. So I understand completely. Yeah, and regarding these unified methods or generic methods, I just like them very much. I myself have developed also for routing and scheduling, and also regarding the VRP solver method, which it's a generic solver to solve VRP exactly, right? VRP variants. I think it's nice to give credit to Eduardo Shoa. He's the mastermind of that. And of course he wouldn't have done
for
it
sure,
also with the
sure,
help
for
of.
Sure.
With the help of Artur Pessoa and the other guys here. And
Exactly.
Yeah, they did a lot, right?
I was not able to mention all of
no,
them.
No, come on. Yeah, sure.
In Brazil is fantastic.
Yeah. So, Frederic, after publishing so many papers, what makes you still motivated to do research?
Let me tell you, for me, to doing research was and is not a work, clearly. I think the day it's like an artist. I think if you start thinking that painting is a work, you don't produce anymore. You're dead. From an artistic point of view, and for research is exactly the same. I think if you consider that it is a work, that you have to produce papers because for some reasons, and if you don't produce papers for those reasons, you will have problems, you are dead.
Mm-hmm.
I think research is a question of patience. You have to be passionate. It's a fantastic job if you do it like I just described, and moreover, I think that it's even more interesting if you do it with friends, and you are not obliged to work with people you dislike. There is no obligation to work with people you dislike, so you can work with friends. I mean, and be with nice people. So, so it's a passion, and I like that a lot. And I think I will not stop at least not now.
Yeah, that's the joy of the academic life in the end.
Yeah, I think that. There are some part of our job which is some parts which are painful. I'm not fond of the administrative part, but
I know
we have to do it. We have to do it, but maybe it's not the funniest part of our job. But yes, I think that research is the good part, and teaching can be very interesting relation with students because they are the new generation, so we have to pass them the message as our own professor gave us the same passion, so we have to try to motivate them and to create this passion.
Absolutely.
So that is really of interest. I don't see why you have to stop this.
Mm-hmm.
Are
you addicted to doing research?
I think so. The only limits are the limits we have in my family, and due to the family constraints, I would say, but that's the only limit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And talking about family, you and Luz are two academics working on the same research field. I had the chance to interview her too. She's super nice. And what does it mean in practice? Like, you have like tension and competition. How do you handle this issue?
Well, yeah, it can seem somehow strange. But let's say it's very pleasant. In fact, we share the same passion. We share the same disappointments. We share the same emotion. When my wife has a paper published in a gold journal, as I am as happy as she can be, and clearly the reverse is true. When we are disappointed because some grant is rejected, in this case, I understand if it's for her, not so often for her. It is exactly the same from her side. I understand that this is not suitable for everyone. I think because this creates some. You must impose to yourself some rules. You must have limits. Clearly, we cannot work both of us. We have a family. We cannot work both of us the Sunday afternoon. That we cannot make it. So if she has something very urgent to do, and she told me, well, I have those free to complete before the end of the day. I understand, so I must take care of the family, and vice versa. But it's clearly necessary to find a balance also between the private life and the professional life, but to find compromise. But it's very nice. The main thing is, I think. This has to be done in the respect of the other, and clearly to understand that both of us have to develop their own career. One point we avoided is to publish together too many papers. So we had some papers together, clearly. But I think we try to be to have our own network. Luce is working on bilevel programming. I'm not working on bilevel programming a little bit, but not with her. I'm working with Martin, for example, Martin Labbé. And we try to have different network. Mainly these days, she's mainly working on the application related to energy management. Clearly, I'm not working on that. I'm still on transportation and logistics. So keep some things separated, but we can share many things together. Yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah.
Maybe the hardest thing, I must confess, is the planning of the conferences. Because you know, at some time you must have, our children are not so old, so at some time you must have some of us at home. So clearly you cannot attend a conference at the same time. So there are some negotiation about the conference planning which has to be done.
But
we manage it.
Yeah. I know that you share the same hobbies, like traveling and things like that. So, it's very nice. Yeah. Mm. So, Frédéric, it was fantastic to have you here. I cannot thank you enough for your time. And I just enjoyed a lot listening to your stories and your views on several topics. So, once again, merci.
You are very welcome. It was my pleasure, Anand. Thank you.
Yeah, so I expect a visit from you and Luce in the coming years here. So come to João Pessoa, come to Brazil. We'll be very happy to show you some of our, nature, beaches, and, there are a lot of things to do here. So please have that in mind.
Okay. Clearly we have. I had it.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Herman.
Okay, so merci beaucoup, Frédéric, and let's keep in touch, and let's hope to meet again one of these days.
Thank you, Anand. See you
Ciao.
later.
Bye.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.